Heyo, and here we go. Welcome to another episode of We Talk Music. I am your host, Mr. Brett Podcast, and I am super happy to be joined by the lead singer of The Outliers. I have Danny Rossi. Danny, how are you?
Fantastic. How about you, buddy?
Well, I'm doing great. Happy to talk to you. You've got the new song out, Light Me Up, Enjoy the Ride. So let's talk about that. I mean, first, it's a really fascinating story about how the whole thing came together. So why don't you fill everybody in on that?
So I had quit my previous band that I did, you know, a lot of work with, four albums and 15 years of touring. I had quit and I, for lack of finding people, I just kind of like laid back and I was like, I'll just write some music when I have free time, you know, kind of solo album, whatever if I want. If not, whatever, you know, it could take me 10 years. I'm going to do it. But out of the blue one morning, I'm headed out the door and I get a message from my friend John, who I haven't spoken to in 15 years, this amazing guitar player. We went to college together. And he's like, hey, dude, he goes, you know, I got this song. He goes, I'm kind of doing this collab thing, you know, like just mixing people from different kind of musical backgrounds and styles of rock music to see what would happen. And he's like, give it a listen. If you like it, he goes, if not, no hard feelings. You know, if you want to think of lyrics and melody, and he goes, let me know. So I listened to it. And I'm like, wow, I loved that opening riff. I was just like, it just got me. So I was like, dude, this is right up my alley. Give me a couple of days. Sure enough, 3 hours later, I've already got the chorus because I'm super excited about how good this song's at. And so I record it and I send it to John. I go, just give me a couple of days to just figure, to tweak out the rest. So 2-3 days later, I have the verses and I just go in my crappy little makeshift home studio there. I just record everything and I send it to him and he just calls me right up and he's like, dude, man, wow, this is above and beyond what I was expecting. He goes, I heard your voice in it, but he goes, I wasn't expecting this. So that was it. But, you know, from my end, but then I asked and I go, so how did you put this together? So he's like, he goes, well, it started about a year before, you know, like just as lockdown started here up in Canada, in Montreal. He goes, I recorded this riff and he says, I sent it to my buddy Max. And I know Max too. He's a phenomenal drummer and has had some success too with his former band. And he's like, Max, can I change some arrangements on it? You know, so he does. And he sends it back. You know, he kind of snipped up the song, sent it back, and added a drum track. Then they're like, this is cool. They both like the idea. We got to find bass. So John asks one of his buddies who was like, yeah, I'll record bass for it, you know. So he records bass. And then the first option for actually vocals was a guy that was in a band with John many years ago in a blues band. And he asked him if he wanted to record vocals. So Brandon's like, he goes, I don't feel that vibe, this old school bluesy rock vibe. He goes, I think it needs keyboard, like some organ. So John's like, you know what? Put it in, see what happens. So he adds a layer of keyboard, and then it came to me, and that's it. And I was able to come up with something, and then I'm like, okay, well, I mean, and I never wanted to come off the wrong way when I'm talking to other people. If we want to release this, I go, we can't do it like this. I go, I got to go professionally record my vocals in studio. You know, I don't have the means to do it properly. Like, I don't have the equipment. And also, I like the input of a producer, an outside, you know, source. So I go see my buddy Kevin, formerly of Slaves on Dope. Well, still with Slaves on Dope as well, but he's got his Uplift recording studio in Montreal, and I've recorded 3 of my albums with him. And I knew he would have the touch, and he did. He had suggestions for layering guitars and obviously, you know, some changes in the vocals, the structure as we were recording, and that's it. And then he put it all together. We got him to mix and master it too, because everybody was happy with all his ideas.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds great. There's no question about it. And I think, you know, it's always interesting to me to talk to musicians and to find out how they feel about producers. Because, I mean, so many people produce themselves, but, you know, I think that it is really amazing when you can get that producer in there to give you that extra feedback and to help take something that's good and make it better.
Well, yeah, not everybody is a Prince or a Lenny Kravitz, you know what I mean, where you can record all the instruments and produce it all yourself. I mean, I wish I was that good, right? So, but not everybody is, and it's so important, you know. But listen, I've argued my fair share with Kevin in the past, you know. It's like, no, dude, I like this, you know. And he's like, dude, your vocal is crap. I go, these are the best lyrics I've ever written. I go, they came from a place. I go, this is how I expressed it. No, it's crap. Get rid of it. And I'm like, dude, don't say it's crap, man. I worked really hard on that, you know. But you need to hear it. You need to hear it. Doesn't matter who you are, if you're nobody or if you're famous, you need to hear it. This is not your best work. Mm-hmm. You can do better.
How happy were you, I guess, that Brandon wound up really not being in for doing the vocals and that it did wind up coming to you?
You know what? I'm really happy. And I'll tell you why. Once I was, you know, I left my last project and my last band and I was trying to find some people to work with. You know, and some of the musicians I had in mind, some were busy, and that's okay. You know, not everybody is readily available for me, you know. But then, you know, the ones you do kind of start, you know, meeting up with and whatnot, they kind of like, musicians are weird dudes sometimes. And it's not a bad thing. For some people, it works out. For others, it doesn't. And that's okay. For me, the vibes weren't going with some people. And the ones that I wish it did, like, the creativity just wasn't happening. You're not jiving. And so that's why I said I was just going to write by myself and then go see Kevin. Kevin, listen, let's hire a bunch of guys to record and I just want to sing, you know. But John sends me the song and it gave me the bug back. Like, I got really excited. Like the song wasn't even, like, mixed yet. Talk to each other. What do you think of this? And I'm recording stuff. What do you think of this? And he's like, well, it's a bit heavy, you know. I go, well, yeah, that's what I'm used to. I'm used to writing music and drop tuning. So now it's like, let's tune the guitar back up and change the way I record and write music, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's opened up a lot and gave me this nice, like, rejuvenated that urge to write music. Very exciting for me, anyway.
Yeah, no, and I think that's fantastic because absolutely, like, I was listening to some of your stuff with one, and you're right, it's so very much drop tuned. I mean, your voice is still definitely your voice, and such a strong voice. It is, you know, so it's just like, it must be nice to kind of be able to move on. And especially if you weren't in a great environment before, it must be nice to be working with people that, you know, are all kind of on the same page.
Yeah, you know, just talking to, I mean, Max and John and I, we talk, it's not every day, every second day. And it's just a chat, you know, I'm basically a messenger chat room, you know. And we've all been through some crap with former members and stuff like that, and like dishonesty and screwing people over, and like, we're all like real chill, we're having a lot of fun, and I haven't had fun like this in a long time. It feels good.
Yeah, I mean, isn't music supposed to be fun? I mean, it's about supposed to be about getting girls and having fun, right? That's
yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's, and you know, if you can start making money out of it, even better, right?
Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to be. That is exactly what it's supposed to be. And if it's not like that, you know, I always say it's like staying in a relationship 5 years past its expiration date, you know? Something, you've just been there so long together and you're creating, like, you know, do you really want to go and start over? But it's probably the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you never know what the grass is going to be like on the other side, but you're better off trying to find out.
Absolutely. And I'm glad I did.
Yeah. So then, as far as the Outliers go, I mean, is this a real band then going forward that's going to keep releasing music, you know, talk about touring, that kind of thing?
We're taking it one day at a time, you know, and that's what I like. We're halfway through our second song. We've got drums and guitars recorded. We're just waiting for a bass player to send in some tracks to see if we like it, if it's going to go with the vibe. And then, I mean, I already have some vocal ideas, but I like to wait for the bass. So I don't, sometimes it'll influence my melody. Sometimes it'll make me change my melody to simplify it if the bass is doing something interesting. So, but yeah, we're pretty much, you know, halfway through the second song. And if we keep writing, now that a lot of restrictions are lifted, we might be able to get to a jam room together and like work out the songs, because I mean, taking a year or 6 months to get one song done, it's not going to cut it, you know. We'll have an album in 10 years, you know.
Yeah, for sure. That's Def Leppard proportions right there. So
yeah. Hey, if you can, you know, if you can afford it, you know, we want to get music out there. You know, maybe you want to play a live show. Maybe you want to play just like, you know, a small set at some sort of event, you know, but it would be great to have some more music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of us are really interested in going up and doing covers. I mean, I did that as a kid. I'm sure everybody has when they started out. I've gotten offers. You want to come do a cover band? No, man. I'd rather stay home and not have to try and remember lyrics that somebody else wrote. I like to enjoy music. I like to enjoy other people's music, but I want to write my own, you know?
Yeah, I get that for sure. So then, you know, why don't you tell me about the process of writing the lyrics and writing the music, especially, I mean, for this song? I mean, I know you said you were excited. Is that common that, you know, 3 hours later you'll have like a fair bit of it ready?
It doesn't happen all the time. I wish it did. I wish it did sometimes. I hummed the melody, and then I had that that perfect crime, Enjoy the Ride, pop into my head, and I was like, okay, these are good, but I've got to make sense of this to make a story, you know. And sure enough, you know, it kept going. Other times, like the second song, it's not as simple as this one, where it's like, don't bore us, get to the chorus, I call this song, you know, the Light Me Up, Enjoy the Ride, because we get straight to the point.
Yep.
Next song is a little more elaborate to a certain extent. So it's taken a lot of hard work. I've been listening to the song now, even if it was just a guitar riff, for 3-4 months. And I have some ideas to jot it down, some vocal ideas. It's, like I said, I want to wait for the bass to really get my teeth into it, you know, before I don't want to change anything once I'm done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But some stuff is easy, some stuff is not. And every song shouldn't be treated like the one before it. They're all individual. They're all different.
So then let's talk about your voice a little bit. I mean, at what point in your life did you realize that, A, you had a really good voice, and that you were ready to try singing for a living?
Well, when I was a kid, I wanted to be like Nikki Sixx of Motley Crue. I wanted to play bass, write songs, and do some backup vocals. I had no interest in singing or being the front man. I just felt I need to get creativity out. Being an arrogant little kid, I thought, hey, I'm going to go buy a bass and I'm going to be good tomorrow. It's got 4 strings instead of 6. It should be easy.
yeah, no problem, right?
not the case, obviously. And it didn't matter how many hours I sat there and practiced, and it wasn't the same. Like, now we got, like, you know, you can learn on the internet, you know, take some lessons and start getting better there. I didn't have that exposure when I was a kid. Even though I was playing bass and I kind of wasn't getting better no matter how much I practiced, but it was the lack of finding a singer. Sometimes the singers, you know, there's that LSD, the lead singer disease.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, the guy comes in, he can barely sing, but he's got that ego as if he's like, you know, as if he was the singer of Led Zeppelin, as if he was Robert Plant, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll think about it. We'll call you. This guy can't even sing a note. He thinks he's, you know, God's gift of singing. No way. But I was singing, and I was like, man, I'm a lot better at this than I am at playing bass. So maybe I should rethink this. And because it was a lot easier to find a bass player than it was a singer. And then that's kind of how it happened. I just ended up singing, and then I was like, okay, well, imagine if I take some training and I learn how to do this properly.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did, I hopped around to a couple of vocal coaches. You know, some people you walk in, they're trying to teach you how to breathe. Like, dude, I was born breathing. I'm good. You know, I'm not paying you this much an hour to teach me how to breathe. I know how to breathe. Teach me how to do it properly while I'm singing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So that was it until I found one guy who just really was able to show me everything, and I still use all these years later. I still use those exercises to warm up, be it studio or a live performance, all the time. They're fantastic to this day.
So then besides those exercises, like what, if you are going to perform a live show, like what is it like for you before the show? Do you, because I've heard, you know, stories about like Paul Rodgers and stuff who won't talk or do anything like that before the show. Is it similar for you? Like what's your kind of, you know, pre-show ritual?
You know, I mean, I'm not going to run around screaming. I mean, I don't know if there's any truth to it. I never did any research because what I was doing was always good. But they say, you know, a lot of people, they speak softly all day. Apparently that's like speaking is actually harder to do. It's harder on your voice if you're going to be singing that evening than talking normally. You know, if you're trying to speak softly or whisper. So I just go about my day. Yeah, I don't have anything excess, you know, no excessive screaming or tiring yourself out. But rituals, you know, no. I mean, you just wake up and be thankful that I was given some sort of a talent and a gift and to be able to share it. Then I don't have to, you know, stay quiet all day because I'm Italian origin. We can't stay quiet if we tried.
Yeah, nice.
And you can hear because I ramble on as I talk, right?
What? Yeah, I'm surprised you're talking to me and not watching the Italian at the Euro. You have the UEFA Euro right now.
Why do you think I told you it had to be 5 o'clock? I was watching the game.
Yeah,
no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But yeah, no, I was watching the game, but it wasn't that. And we won, so we're good.
There you go. That's so funny. So, you know, tell me about Montreal and just, you know, what's it like, the music scene there, and especially coming out of COVID?
There's not much happening right now. Now, Montreal, if you look back when I was a kid, was notorious for its amazing music scene, original music everywhere. We had, what was it called? And I think I just missed it because of my age. I wasn't allowed to go because I was still underage at the time. The Brick. Now, this used to be across the street from our old Forum. And there were stories about, like, Ozzy finishing his show at the Montreal Forum and crossing the street, going to the Brick, and jumping on stage with the band. I you know, it's like I said, I think it was called the Brick because there were two, three famous ones back in the day. And yeah, Montreal, you know, we got a lot of talented people. It's a very artistic city. And but unfortunately, it's also a fashion-forward city, like up with the trends. So when people go watch a band now, they'll go watch a cover band. You have to force people to buy tickets to come to your show. Unless you're famous, then, you know, they'll just go pay top dollar for you at the big venue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's so hard, of course. I mean, new music, it like, I know we've talked about it with many people, and just the concept of, like, how do you get yourself seen and heard with the incredible amount of music that's being released all the time?
I think, you know, honesty goes a long way. You know, a flash in the pan might, you know, get you a little bit of popularity now, but then you got to hold on to that. And I always take the biggest rock concerts are still the bands that are about to retire.
Mm-hmm.
There's no up and comers. I mean, there may be a few, but even they're kind of older now, you know, but the biggest concerts are still like Metallica, Kiss, Rolling Stones, and I can go on. The flash in the pan is just that. It's just going to get you a couple of songs maybe for this period, and then you're on, oh, rock from the 90s station.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, Bon Jovi, you know, everybody made fun of him. The guy's still selling the out arenas. So it's incredible to see. You mm-hmm. figured they would have realized, the music industry might have realized that and said, you know what? It's, we don't have the next Bon Jovi. We don't have the next Kiss. We don't have the next Guns N' Roses. We need maybe some more honest music. less over-processing in studio and electronics, back to instruments.
Yeah, for sure.
Again, my opinion at the end of the day, but it's out there. It's not like I'm making this stuff up, right?
No, it's true. And, you know, it's so interesting because I think if you look at the charts from like the 80s and like especially in the 80s, like the top 10, I mean, you could have a hard rock song, you could have like a practically like a blues jazz song, you could have a pop song, you could have a dance song, you could have a rap song, you could have everything in the top 10, and it didn't matter.
No, it really didn't.
And nowadays, you know, it's like it just seems like everything is so consistent. And, you know, and it is unfortunate from a musical perspective because I think that there's a lot of great music that gets buried because of it.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. There's been a few bands I said, where did these guys come from? You know, they don't play them on the radio, but they're amazing.
Mm-hmm. So then in this case, you know, with the Outliers, like what are you guys trying to do to get the song heard, especially? I mean, you're here, which is great. I think this is a fine start. But, you know, what are the other, you know, kind of strategies? Are you, like, especially when coming it down with the second song, like, are you building that kind of thing? Or is that just part of the one day at a time strategy?
Well, we're realistic. We know that you can't just put a song out there and it's going to get 10,000 views in a week. You know, as you release content, your YouTube channel will pick up steam. Maybe somebody didn't hear the first song, but they'll hear the second one, go back and listen to the first one. It's strategy, but it's not like big strategy. It's just, you know, common sense a little bit, but, you know, working hard, you know, we had a t-shirt contest on Instagram and Facebook, you know, just, you know, share the song and, you know, you're entering the draw to win the t-shirt, you know? So, and it was great, you know, I wish more people would engage in stuff like that. All you got to do is share somebody's video, somebody's music.
Mm-hmm.
It takes no effort. It's actually a good thing to try and help out somebody. Just this way, if your friend opens up a business and he sells bicycles, you need a new bike. Well, you don't go to Walmart, you go see your friend.
Yeah. Yeah, right? That's right.
You help you. And this is even better because it's free. You just click and share. You know, if more people did that kind of stuff for each other, it would be fantastic, you know. But again, yeah, one day at a time, partial strategy, and working hard, you know, getting interviews with people like you and just pushing it out there.
Mm-hmm. No, and I mean, one thing I'll say, like the video for the song, while simple in its own way, is, I think it's genius. I mean, I just love the fact that you've essentially told the story of the song in music video format while still not being in the same room.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, everybody was doing these collab videos, and it started with, I think, Sammy Hager, I think, got this trend going with the circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody started doing covers like that. It's like, well, I'd rather listen to the original song, you know, unless you're one of the artists that, like Sammy Hager can do a Van Halen song. He was in Van Halen, you know, for everybody else. Like, okay. you know, and we had that, but to stand out, to make it different, why should people listen to our song? Well, we're going to tell a little story. And at first, the first version of the video was, we had flooded words all over the page to tell the story in depth. And then we're like, you know what? We're taking away from the music. I think Max pointed it out, our drummer. He's like, he goes, there's too much writing. He goes, let's keep the story a bit simple. And I mean, all you need is, yeah, I like the riff, so I sent it to a few friends. And obviously, if the song is a video right at this point, it's because everybody liked it, then they wanted to add their parts to it. And that's all we really needed to explain the story. And then I said, you know what? I'm not just going to film one scene in my, you know, in my home. I said, I'm going to take a drive because there's enjoy the ride in the song.
Yeah.
so I wish one day I'll release the outtakes of me swearing in three different languages of the camera falling off my dash because I don't have the right equipment. I just took a little regular Sony camcorder and you know, I think I tied it to a book with an elastic to hold it in place. And then you're at a red light, you hit, before getting on the highway, I hit the gas and it comes flying in my lap. And I had set it up perfectly, parked in front of my house. So the camera was in the perfect spot. So, you know, it's stuff like that that makes it all fun, you know. You send it to John, and John, not only a great guitar player, but a videographer, he put that whole video together.
Wow, yeah, nice. Yeah, and Andy had to look at the camera flying into your lap. So.
Oh, yeah. I told him, I go, dude, when you're choosing the scenes, you're going to have a good laugh. And because he's Italian as well at origin. So, like, the swearing starts coming out in Italian sometimes. I said, you're going to get a good laugh. I said, we should release some of this stuff. If we don't get hits on the video, we'll get hits for the laughs.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, whatever it takes, that's what music is about, right?
Yeah, at the end of the day, right?
Yeah. So then, you know, what is it, or like, what kind of, how has Danny Rossi changed from now, from when you first started, or like when you first joined One?
I learned how to use my voice much better. I learned to adapt to different types of music and styles behind me, you know, whether heavier or softer. And you know, sitting there, I learned in studio, you can't just accept what you wrote the first time. Sometimes you got to go through with a fine-tooth comb and really dig. And till it's good. And when you stop digging, you know, and it's not out of laziness, it's because you're done. You got it. And that's when maybe you'll need the help of a producer, or maybe the producer will say, hey, this is perfect. Leave it as is.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk, especially again with other artists, about like, how do you know when a song is done? And I like that kind of, you've just put as much into it as you can think of, and then you go to a producer and they either, like, you know, give you a new idea or it's done, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, sometimes you have to stop and walk away for a few days, and other times you're like, okay, this is it. You can't keep beating at it, because maybe sometimes you'll change something that was good and you'll end up maybe ruining the song.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. Maybe you'll have taken something out that was good in the first place when you shouldn't have, just because you overthink it. Overthinking sometimes is just as bad as, you know, underthinking.
Yeah, for sure. I can well imagine. So then, you know, another thing is like, how hard was this last year on you? I mean, we know how hard on like so many people in the music industry it was like, so what was it like for you?
My fiance and I look at each other like, thank God we get along. and we laugh together and joke around a lot, and just thank God we get along. Other people weren't so fortunate. I think divorce rates went up, you know, even the more unfortunate, spousal abuse went up. But for me, we both say, thank God we had each other, to do that. And she'll put up with me cranking the amplifier in the house, you know, very loud. and she enjoys it. So it's like, good. But, there were times when I think in the beginning though, it was very uninspiring. You're like, okay, cool. 2 week vacation. Oh, 3 month vacation. At one point, I didn't even feel like getting up to go cook.
Like, yeah,
it was so uninspiring. It was starting to get a bit depressing. And then like, oh look, hey, we finished supper, we get to go for a walk. Isn't that fun? No, it's not fun to go for a walk. Okay, I'm not 90, you know, and I need to walk in a mall. Okay? Yeah. I like maybe something that's going to be more interesting, like sitting around and having conversation with human beings. And having a drink with people, friends, and, you know, at a bar, and maybe watching a live band. That's fun. But when you're looking forward to a walk, it was, I think that was depressing as well. And I didn't realize it.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny in that way, and not funny at all, but how much our lives truly changed over the past year. And now, I mean, you see all these areas, especially in the US, as they start opening up. And I know that here in Alberta, we're just opening up now more again. And so it's just like you see the light, but it's like you want to reach for the light, but at the same time, it's just like, oh, please don't do this to us again.
Like you try not to get your hopes up, and because the last summer we got our hopes up for like 2 or 3 weeks, and then it was like shut it down again. I'm like, what? We just started hanging out, again. You can't go kiss your mom on Mother's Day. It's ridiculous. It's depressing.
Yeah, for sure. There's no question about it. So then, when you were working on your solo stuff, like are you playing a guitar? Do you play a piano? Like are you just like bass, perhaps?
I have them all at home. Piano, I'm gonna say I'm garbage at. Okay, I've tried over the years. I took lessons when I was very young, and I didn't like it because you're a kid. You wanted to play electric guitar.
Sure, yeah.
I ended up trading one of my first basses for an acoustic guitar. So I've always strummed, and then over the years, needing a second guitar in songs, I just got better. Take some online lessons here and there when I would, and actually that's what I did too during the pandemic. I took some online lessons to get better because I was by myself trying to write music. And that's it. I would just play till I started playing something I liked, and when I did, I knew I liked it because I kept playing it over and over, and I would record it with my phone to really keep, so I wouldn't forget it. So I'd have it for whenever I was ready, and then sometimes I'll fiddle through my phone. I go, "That's a good riff," and I start playing it again, And some stuff like the less heavy stuff, I'll send to John because I realize I can't send heavy stuff. We're not that kind of band.
Yeah, so that's interesting, right? Like you almost need to, so if you were to release your solo album, do you think it would be like a heavier album then?
I have a little bit of everything, and I've always liked all different types of rock music, and I have no problem with it as long as it's honest. Again, honest music, it shows you can feel honest music, and I have no problem. I have something that some stuff is like very angry and aggressive, downpicking, maybe a la Metallica style, and other stuff is just some just groovy, riffs, and I just got to basically get my act together, and start recording them properly, or actually getting. I think Kevin said he'll record the guitars for me. He says, "Dude, don't worry." He goes, "I'll record guitars for you. We'll just find a bass player and a drummer." I'm like, "Okay, dude."
Yeah, I mean,
So
it
he's a
must.
producer, my producer and guitar player, so it's good.
Yeah, I mean, it must be nice to meet people and get to know a lot of people, and obviously you've done a pretty good job of that. Like, how important is it to, really kind of build these relationships in the music industry, especially these days?
I've always believed it's important. I know a lot of people walk around with a chip on their shoulder and how they've done so much. It's like, okay, but just because you've done it doesn't mean you're a nice person. I like being nice to people, and nobody's gonna change me. I don't want to be that arrogant lead singer, that people don't want to talk to. Come talk to me, man. Come talk to me. It's like, let's chat. You want to chat about something? You want to know how I warm up my voice? I'll tell you. Come talk. That's again, that's me. But that's the way my life goes, and I don't care how other people do it,
Yeah, for sure. So then, how did the Outliers name come about?
When John and I were discussing that we should, I go, "Look, dude," I go, "do you want to get this mixed? I go, you like this?" I go, "I'll record the vocals and we'll get it mixed." He's like, "Yeah, okay." I'm like, "If we're going to do that, then we want to release it. We need a name." And he's like, "Okay." And I'm always joking around and being a clown. And I'm like, "Okay, let's like, we're 4 out of 5 Italians that recorded the song. And just call this Prosciutto Melon." you know, like a little antipasto that you get in an Italian wedding, you know, like a little your appetizers. And he's like, maybe a little more serious than that. I'm like, okay, fine. And he came up with the idea of trying to find something to kind of incorporate explaining how we recorded all this, how we did this song. And so we did it remotely. Everybody was at home. So when you look up remotely, you get outlying is one of the words. And the definition of outlying is remote and far from a center. So the center, I guess, you know, ends up being the song, and we were all away from each other. So we have outlying, and he goes, but let's say we change outlying, but instead of being lying that way, he goes, but like as if you're telling a lie. And I'm like, okay, you got me here. And he goes, oh no, how about the outliers? I'm like, and we spell it like a liar. And I'm like, I go, yeah, dude, but we need a capital L. And he's like, what? I go, you get the credit for the name. I get the credits for the capital L, okay? Because we were joking around about how everybody has an ego.
Yes.
Right? And this was my idea, and this was me. I thought of this. Like, nah, nah. So I said, you'll get full credit. I want the L. So when we laugh about it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and because it must be super hard to name a band these days.
Yeah. I was trying to find something, you know, interesting when he said, you know, about a remote project. And I was looking up synonyms for the word remote and stuff like that. And maybe, you know, like have like three letters, you know, almost like, you know, you call Stone Temple Pilots STP, you know,
trying to
find something like that. Yeah. I was trying to find stuff like that, but there was no need. And the outliers, it just fit us.
Oh, that's awesome. That's certainly, I love the fact that everything was born of basically one riff, from the whole band into the name of the band into just, you know, the music video, like just everything out of this one riff, which I just, what a fun story.
Yeah, it's when, like, sometimes we don't sit back and realize that. You know, but that's exactly how it happened. It was the idea was born from Johnny being bored at home because it's COVID-19 and everybody's stuck at home and everything's closed to starting to write something a little different than the usual bluesy place.
Yeah. And it is, it's an awesome riff. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, and the chorus itself, super easy to get in your head, which is a, you know, awesome benefit, of course.
I think if you're not singing along after the first time for like a release, like a main release by a band, if it's forgettable, then yeah, it's forgettable. That's exactly what it is. I think you should be singing it after the second time you hear the song.
Yeah. No,
that's always been my favorite type of music.
Yeah, I think that's what I was doing in this case as well. You know, I found myself wandering around. It's the perfect crime. You know, it's just like, oh, yeah, there you go.
Good. My master plan to take over the world is happening one person at a time.
There you go. Perfect. And who doesn't want a master plan to take over the world?
Yeah, like an evil cartoon genie.
Yeah. Only what if your master plan and my master plan compete? Oh, that's no good.
No, we might have a problem. Then one of us must go.
Yes. Well, Danny, I've had a great time talking to you, and I want to give you the chance right now to tell everybody where they can keep up with you, keep up with the Outliers, how they can find the song, how they can find all the new music that you release.
We're keeping it very simple because everybody's got a website and 3,000 different types of social media. Okay. I refuse to tweet because it's called a tweet. basically, we're doing Facebook and Instagram. And the truth is, if it wasn't the fact that a lot of people hate Facebook, I wouldn't even have Instagram. But we do Facebook and Instagram, no website, no tweeting, and no other stuff. Okay? And you just do at Outliers Band. That's OutliersBand. At Outliers Band, it's a very simple white background with the Outliers written in black. And that's us. You can find us there. Our names are there. If you want to follow us personally on social media, you know, we talk to people. People ask me stuff all the time about the song. And it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure for, you know, I'm a social person. I love talking to people and answering questions. So.
Well, that's
That's
great.
where you find it.
Yeah, for sure. And I urge everybody to go out and listen to Light Me Up, Enjoy the Ride, watch the video. It's a ton of fun. You know, it's a great song, and I look forward to the rest of the music that you guys put out. And, you know, once again, Danny, thank you so much for spending the time with me, and I wish you nothing but the best in the future.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me, man. I really appreciate it, and it was great talking to you.
Well, thanks a lot, and you know, we'll get some more new music released, and we'll have you back on the show.
Perfect. Sounds like a plan, buddy.
Awesome. Thanks, Danny.
Have a good one, buddy.
Yeah, you too. Bye now.
Bye.
Take me back.